Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about a lighthearted topic, and that is awkward holiday family gatherings. So please feel free to participate or just listen. And now let me welcome Kat Edwards. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm not quite the fantastic, but I trust by the end of the show I will be. So there.
Aha!
I always enjoy our time together on my Sunday nights.
Yes, I do too. I really enjoy it. And sadly, this is our final show for the year as we go into Christmas and New Year. So what better topic than awkward family gatherings?
Right. Well, I was thinking about the state of gatherings at this point, and it means that there probably won't be much awkwardness this holiday season with COVID going on, but we certainly can get into stories of days gone by. And so, Kat, you want to lead off?
Well, yeah. So, unfortunately, around the world, there's different, or varying, I should say, COVID restrictions, depending on where you are living. And, of course, that's going to dictate as to how much family gatheringness you can have. Here in Brisbane, Australia, we've eased right back on our COVID restrictions. We've had zero cases for quite a while. We've started to open up travel interstate, and also we've been welcoming people from New Zealand. So we've got more of an opportunity for family gatherings than what you have there in Syracuse, from what you were saying, with 500 cases just reported yesterday. So you guys are, you know, I mean, you got to look at the positives, David. If you really cringe at the idea of a family gathering every year, then this is actually a benefit to you, that you can stay home and play on the computer.
There you go.
Pop some plants. You don't have to deal with it.
Right. I'm sure that's the case for a lot of people. I haven't had that experience with my own family, but, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head, so to speak. There are a lot of people that probably will be very grateful, not just because of awkwardness, but because they don't want to be with their family. I mean, there's a lot of that going on now, so this could be an ideal season for folks like that here in
the
States.
Well, it could be. But for people who really love their family and love to be around them, then it is going to be a difficult time. And, you know, we need to cater for everybody. So that's the beauty of the internet and chat rooms. And if you can get your older folks to get on the chat room. I struggle with my father. I've asked him a few times if he would use FaceTime, and he just won't. So I can't just dial him up and look at him and talk to him the way I can you or some of my other friends. But now, what is it about family gatherings that make them awkward? What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of times it just has to do with Yeah, I don't know why it came to mind, but I was thinking about people that might judge other family members and create a situation where somebody is feeling uncomfortable just being around the other person. That's one thing that comes to mind. Awkward.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree. The judgmental and also not viewing you as a grown-up, still seeing you as a pimply-faced 13-year-old kid who doesn't really know much about life.
Oh, yeah.
That one I really find hard to cope with, especially when, you know, here I am. I'm about to turn 45 on Boxing Day. I've done a whole lot of growing up in the, you know, in these years, and I'm certainly not a pimply-faced little kid anymore. But some people in the family just have a knack of making you feel nervous or making you feel like you're way back in your teens again. And other people just, they're obnoxious or they are just... they struggle with personal hygiene or they just can't get in the flow. And then, of course, you've got people who want to trump up their lives and make them out to be way bigger than they are. They're always the amusing family members. And then the noise. There's always, if there's children, there's noise. And if you're not somebody who has children or you have a nervous condition, I can really struggle with that one, especially when they start getting into the treats.
Oh, boy. I've noticed...
The sugar high.
I've noticed some of the adults doing the same thing, though, when it comes to treats.
Yeah, so usually the alcoholic beverages come out, and the chatting gets louder and louder as they get drunker and drunker.
Right.
And then, whoops, that secret that I wasn't supposed to tell the mother, out it comes. Oh,
there
no.
you go. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yes. Oh, yes. Now, well, I've been that person who's been socially awkward at family gatherings and said the wrong thing. I'll put my hand up first and say I've done that. I haven't let go of other people's secrets in the family, but there's certain family members of mine that make me feel nervous, and I tend to stuff up and say the wrong thing, and then I guess that just reinforces their whole attitude towards me, and I'm so much happier once I'm gone. I don't have to deal with them anymore. I'm like, oh, that's good. And they're probably happier that I'm not there too.
I was just thinking, it's been a long time since I've had any regular family gatherings because it's just down to me and my father. And at one time, it was his parents' extended family with them as my grandparents. And the usual gatherings at Christmas time were about 25 people. Now it's just three of us, so that's a big change. But I have been to some family reunions, and that's another story, but they happen so infrequently. And you talked about how some adults of another generation can treat you as a fully grown, mature woman as if she was a child. I was thinking about how I have felt very uncomfortable around people and have made the same kind of gaffes that you have. It's a little bit unnerving because it does reinforce their judgment of you if they are indeed making one.
Yeah, you've really got to just let them have it, let them have their judgment, and don't don't take it on board because they don't really know you, even though they might be a blood relative. They don't really know you because if they did, they wouldn't have that judgment. And so you just got to let them have it and just walk away. But you know what? That's what the kitchen sink is for, David. It's a perfect place to go and hide and start washing up.
There you go.
Making yourself useful.
I love it.
I personally hate washing up, but damn, I'm there if I'm feeling like I'm not comfortable in this family gathering.
Yeah, right. Well, the loo, as you call it, would be another place, but if you have a large family gathering, people are going to be knocking at the door.
Yes, well, that's right. You don't want to clog up the toilet, and then you're known for that. Because if you've got family members that like to give you a ribbing and tease you all the time, they'll find any reason to.
Oh, that would be awful. That would be awful.
Oh, yes, I've got family members that do that. You know, because it's the Aussie way to tease each other and have a joke and at another's expense. And just we laugh at ourselves and each other quite a bit. So you don't want to set yourself up. That's the last thing you want to do because you'll never hear the end of it.
Do you have any stories of awkward family gatherings, Kat?
Well, I have one that was probably not a great story, I suppose, but the 2000 tsunami that smashed Indonesia and parts of Africa, that happened on my birthday. And that always made me feel bad because we were sitting there having mimosas and croissant and people were getting hammered. So that kind of did me in for a little bit. But because my birthday's on Boxing Day for a lot of the years we would go have Christmas together and then stay over at whoever we were having Christmas with and then charge on with my birthday and get up and have a champagne breakfast.
Ooh.
And so it was like a double celebration. And then you'd roll into the week. There's always sales and great movies on, and then it'd be New Year. So, and nowadays also we've got my son's birthday on the 5th of December and my second eldest son's birthday on the 5th of December. He just turned 22. And then my baby son's birthday on the 12th of January. He's about to turn 6. So it's sort of a birthday season, December and January. So there tends to be a lot of family gatherings at this time of year. And at the end of it, you can feel a bit exhausted.
I bet.
And I remember one year we were at my mother's place for Christmas, and I'm not a really big drinker. I suffered a lot of medical problems when I was younger in my teens, and also starting from when I was about age 9, have had liver problems from, I got contracted glandular fever, which damaged my liver, and then I just couldn't ever really be well after that. I was always a little bit unwell, and then that fed into other things, and so anyway, long story short, I can't really drink, and very well without suffering afterwards, so I'm not a big drinker. So we have this Christmas gathering, and my parents have been long divorced, and they're together, and my mother's giving my father a hard time about something in the lounge room, and we're all outside, and so we've run out of food, we've run out of lollies, there's only alcohol left, so we start getting plastered, and they're fighting. And I start singing. I was just learning to sing at that time. So I start pulling out half-song songs that I know, and my sons have never seen me drunk, ever. So they were like stunned. They still bring it up.
Oh.
And so I get up and I'm slurring, and I think I may have fallen down or fallen into the swimming pool.
Oh,
but
my.
Somehow we're all talking about Mum and Dad are having a big fight.
Oh,
and keeping to giving each other updates. So we walk through the sort of lounge into the kitchen, eavesdrop, and then come back and give each other updates while we're playing cards. And eventually they finally finished their fight. It took them hours. They were fighting for hours. So it was our entertainment. Someone was not drunk. I think that might have been my partner, David. And we managed to get back to my place. And then we cooked up a storm. We had fresh pizza that we cooked up and pasta and all this Italian food that I don't even know how I had the food in my house. But we cooked up a massive feed. And, so that was a really funny sort of slash distressing.
Oh, jeez.
Slash I paid for it later. Christmas.
Boy, I bet you did.
Yeah, I did, because my liver doesn't like alcohol very much.
Yikes. Well, that's a good story.
How do you do that?
I don't have any good stories about my family gatherings. They were all pretty bland, they were filled with awkwardness at a feeling level, I think, because my family just, I don't know. I guess I'm not going to go there, but I did hear a wonderful story today from a housemate of mine. He told me about this elderly aunt of his. This was a Christmas gathering. She had to walk nearly 5 miles to get to his house, and she got absolutely plastered. And so when she had to go to the bathroom, she went over to the Christmas tree, squatted, and peed all over some of the presents.
Oh, no.
She just lowered herself down by the arm of the sofa. So then she goes back across the room, throws herself onto another sofa, and she sees...
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, right. She sees his father sitting there, and she says, "John, what are you doing in the bathroom?" You got it?
Oh, the poor dear.
Yeah,
poor family.
I know. What a thing. There was more to it than that, but I just thought I'd focus on the more tasteful parts, if you will. It's certainly a challenging time of the year for a lot of people in so many ways.
It is, and it's challenging for the people who are lonely. I think that's the hardest thing, is there's so much loneliness as well. And, now I've gone through extreme loneliness, and so I know what that feels like. It can kind of feel like you're being stabbed in the chest. It's not a nice feeling. And Christmas time can be a time when that really increases for you. So if you know somebody who's lonely, now's the time to reach out and invite them. And they may not really know how to be social because they're lonely. They may talk too much or not enough, just accept it, go with it, and just nod and smile and include them as much as you can, because you might actually turn their life around. Just that one gesture of inclusion might be enough to get them out of whatever funk they're in, or if it's their circumstances and that just isn't going to change, then at least they have something that they can remember and go on as a good feeling in their life. And then, you know, obviously there's other gatherings throughout the year. If you can invite them into that as well, that would be fantastic. But if we all turned around and looked to, you know, one person that we knew who was lonely that we could invite in, that would be fantastic. Well, do you know anyone who's lonely? I do, but they live a long way away, so it's hard to get them to come to me.
Yeah. I did that 1 year, Kat. It felt really good. Actually, I did it 2 times. And I can't think of anybody offhand in that situation now in my personal life. But I think that's a great, great example of what you can do to reach out to somebody who is experiencing loneliness. And, you know, a lot of people, for whatever reason, don't have family anymore, or they find their families are toxic and they choose not to be around them. And I think that we need to sometimes look at the larger definition of family. It's not necessarily blood, it's who we jive with. And so a lot of people create their own families, and so they have different kinds of family gatherings that aren't filled with childhood histories.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can't hide your childhood from people who know you deeply. They know, they've known you when you were a kid, and they know what you got up to. And you know, some people know more than other people who knew you as a kid too.
Right.
But and that can be freeing in some respects. There can be a liberation in that, but there can also be a bit of a cringe feeling too, you know, because you know me that well. I can't hide myself behind my professional persona around you. It doesn't work.
Right, right.
That can be hard to take.
It can be, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We do have Eleanor on the line. Would you like to check
fantastic.
In with her? Okay.
Let's do that.
All right. Hi, Eleanor. How are you?
Hi. How are you? Hi, Kat.
Excellent.
Hi, Eleanor.
Yeah, I remember a Christmas. My grandmother cooked game. She had venison and turtle and squirrel and things like that, but she also had turkey and bread pudding and pies. So my grandmother was a chef, my father was a chef, and my mother was just a marvelous cook. And we all had everything, and we were calm down, and everybody was enjoying the good food. And my grandmother and my aunt stood before the in the kitchen, and they stood toward the oven. And my aunt was taking something out of the oven, and she turned to my grandmother and said, "My grandmother's nickname was Miss Skip. Miss Skip, sometimes I don't believe that you're my mother." And I felt so sorry that my grandmother chose to hit her over the head with a frying pan.
Oh, my.
Go
ahead, Eleanor.
I never figured out why she did that. To this day, I don't know why she did that.
Well, I don't have the answer for you, Eleanor, but that's quite a story.
Everyone survive?
Yeah, my aunt survived.
Okay, that's good. Maybe there was a little secret in your family, and you know, it was accidentally revealed there. Could that have been the case?
That could have been the case.
How young were you at the time, Eleanor?
I was a teenager.
Teenager? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About 16.
Look, apart from the fact that that happened, I wish I grew up with all of those people who cooked well. That would have been fantastic, all that food.
It was great food.
Oh, my goodness.
turtle.
Hi, Mark.
I've never.
Turtle.
Yeah. I was actually recoiling at the thought of eating a turtle. I love turtles.
Love turtles.
They went out and hunted for. They went out and hunted for game.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was quite a spread.
Oh, yeah.
Did
my grandmother.
Aunt, go ahead.
My aunt could cook, too. But her expertise happened to be vegetables and desserts.
Ah. Well, you were talking about your grandmother, and I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
My grandmother was like Ma Rainey.
Oh.
She was a blues singer. Yeah, she was a blues singer, and then she got saved. That's a religious term that means you put down your life and you follow Jesus. So she didn't mind being poor as long as she was following Jesus, but she had seen better times in terms of what she did for a living and who she associated with. But as I say, it didn't bother her.
Well, Eleanor, I was going to ask you about your aunt. Did she survive the incident, or did she have to go to the emergency room?
She survived the incident.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you for sharing the story. That was great. It sounds like something out of a cartoon, like Popeye or something.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It sounds pretty wild. I can only say that my parents were fighting. I can't claim to have anything like that happen. Oh, my goodness. So I will tell you, on my 21st birthday, somebody cut their face open on a broken beer bottle. Well, I wasn't there. I didn't see that. So we did have the excitement of driving to the hospital. But certainly no possible family secrets revealed. Aren't family gatherings interesting, though?
They are.
And how about nowadays, Eleanor? A lot of those people, have they passed on? What do you catch up with now?
They passed on. My family's on my mother's side is almost gone. It's just three of her children. I just lost a brother recently, about a couple months ago. And my family, they're gone. My sister's gone. She was young. My brother's gone. He was young. Or my sister passed on about 10 years ago. And my brother passed on, as I said. He passed on a couple months ago. I have a cousin who lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and then on my beloved stepfather's side, there are a couple hundred or more people.
Wow, that's a big family.
That is big. Wow.
That's big.
What are your plans for the holiday, Eleanor? I know.
You know, I don't have any. I'm just going to stay in here at the Bernardine. That's what it's called. I'm grateful that I have an apartment. So many mentally ill people, although I'm not mentally ill anymore, they are on the streets. And I just appreciate that I don't have that. A picture of my apartment. Yeah, I'm very grateful. A picture of my apartment shows what it looks like in the Empire Building and down in downtown Syracuse. and they go for $1,500 a month. But my apartment is $400 with Section 8 program for people who need housing subsidies. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for the three meals I get a day, although I cut them down a lot. So it's a good holiday season for me.
Well, you know what I like, Eleanor, is that you count your blessings, and that's something that all of us can learn a lesson from. And, you know, I often think that it's important to count blessings about things that didn't feel good, because they've all been pieces of what have brought you to your today, including awkward family gatherings, be it the holidays or otherwise.
Yes, at least you get to see your family, and then you can go away and mutter about them. And they can go away and mutter about you. But at least you got to see each other. I like that you thank your blessings as well. I often do that, and I'll find myself thinking about something and just being grateful about it. I got in the car the other day, and I just felt grateful that I could read and write. You know, I don't know why that came up in my mind, but I was just very grateful that I'd gone all the way to grade 12 and that I could read and write, and that foundation had been given to me. That was my good karma. I felt very grateful about that, because I know people who can't. So this new house that we've moved into, there are some problems with it. But last night, we've got some really wild weather coming over Brisbane at the moment. It's the middle of summer, and it's cold and wet. And there's been hailstorms and flooding. Really, really strong, squally winds. It's just really wild weather. And I was grateful that we don't have any leaks in the roof. Simple, but just having that feeling of gratitude that, you know what, this house might have a few problems, but there's no leaks in the roof, makes you feel good.
Yeah, it does. I find that I need to count the smallest of blessings. And when you were talking about being in the car and appreciating your ability to read and write, I was thinking, you know, quite frequently when I'm in the car, I'll think to myself, thank you for the privilege of driving and for the skills to be able to drive. And I express gratitude for green lights and red lights, because red lights are about sharing and teaching patience. And when I get a green light, I'm grateful that I can travel on. So I like to count my blessings, even the little ones, you know. And to me, that involves practicing a lot of awareness too, because it's easy to go through life with blinders on and not seeing the things around you that you have to be grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you have
that's so important.
You have a blessed life, Eleanor, don't you?
Yes, I do. With what I've gone through, coming out on the other side. But I'm 69, so I'm going into my 70th year.
Yes, you are. Wow. That's wonderful.
Well, thank you.
70 isn't what it used to be, that's for sure.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So, Kat, do you have anything else you want to say about family gatherings, awkward family gatherings?
Well, I think that, you know, if you do feel awkward in a family gathering, make yourself useful in the kitchen. Become a helper at the gathering. That way you don't have to talk to the people who make you feel awkward. Be an observer. You know, if you're an extrovert, that might be quite difficult, but it's better than having to deal with an uncomfortable encounter. So put yourself in the kitchen, put yourself into cleaning up, find a book and a cozy corner and just start reading the book. Get and watch the news. Do something where you're out of the way if your family is making you feel uncomfortable. If you are enjoying your family, then keep up what you enjoy about them and don't get too caught up in the things that are controversial within the family. Because a lot of problems can develop out of family gatherings at this time of year, and maybe it's not the time or the place. If it is, then it is, but if it's not, don't make things hard for yourself. Just try and focus on the good things and encourage each other if you can. So, you know, there's always somebody who's got an eclectic lifestyle, and maybe that's the person to be intrigued by instead of the person to be frustrated or flabbergasted by. And then you've got the stiff person who has the very beige outlook and the cardboard life, and everything's by the book, and they can be frustrating to be around as well because they're so stiff, and they can actually be quite judgmental as well, that sort of person. But you could learn from them about how to be more organized and how to view the world so that you don't feel so emotionally shattered by life. So look at maybe how they can, you can learn from each other. I think that would be the best way to deal with a family gathering where you're finding each other difficult, is just to see, how can I learn from you? And if I listen to what you have to say, instead of just having my blinkers on about what I think of who you are, I may actually grow closer to you and find a reason to like you. Because in the end, we all die. And now I've been a funeral celebrant, been in the industry since 2006 on and off, and I can tell you that there's plenty of people that I've met at a funeral who said to me, I wish I'd said what I wanted to say when they were alive. I never got the chance. I should have taken that opportunity or this opportunity to speak to them. Really, my issue between them wasn't such a problem. I shouldn't have made it so big. They achieved so much and I never got to tell them I'm proud of them. These sorts of things are important to talk about now. So if you know somebody in your family who's difficult to deal with because they're different to you, go up, sit down and say, hey, what have you been doing that you've really enjoyed? How have you been having a win? And, you might find out that they've managed to save up enough money to go to a concert they always wanted to go to, or that they fixed their car, or that they've just been through the trauma of losing a pet. You don't know until you actually give them some time. So that's really important. And if you can love and laugh and sing and play, that's the best. So get into that, because that's what we really need. Because there are people, whether they like it or you like it or not, there are people, our family, and we need to make sure that we let them know that. It gives you a good, safe, cozy feeling to know that there's people out there who've got your back, and that's who your family really are. I think that's enough, isn't it?
Well, I think that's really true. I thought of one other thing that I thought would be interesting to share, and that is simply that I think the greatest gift we can give to somebody else is to listen to them. And, you know, if you're at a family gathering and you're feeling awkward yourself, and it's not the gathering but you that's feeling awkward, you could go sit down and talk with somebody and ask them questions and listen to them tell you about their lives. That would be something that would distract you and get you out of yourself. And I can remember doing that at one family gathering where I was an adult, and I was still feeling like a child in an adult costume. And I just went and sat with a person I was comfortable with and listened to them. And it was very nice. It happened to be my grandfather, and he was telling a lot of old stories. And It was very consoling. It got me out of myself. It got me involved with somebody else. And so I think that's a nice thing that, that people could consider doing.
Yes, absolutely. That's the best way. Don't talk about yourself. Let somebody else talk about themselves. It takes all the pressure off you as well.
Mm-hmm. Eleanor, is there anything else you'd like to share?
I'm not depressed about spending the holiday here in Bernardine. And that's a miracle, because under normal circumstances, I would think I was being rejected. But I'm not being rejected. The whole country is rejected.
Yeah.
This is something
yeah.
we haven't, the whole world, really. This is something
right.
we never had to deal with before. And I'm
right.
just glad I have a place to be.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing that, Eleanor. Kat, it's not the end of the hour. Is there anything else you want to say before we go into meditation?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it all, haven't we, David? I mean, the life is for living, and enjoy your family as much as you can. If you are nervous or uncomfortable around them, then sit down, listen to somebody else talk, take all the pressure off yourself. And if you really need to, make yourself useful and get out of the way and try and have a good time.
Yeah, there's no
but if you're alone because of COVID, then make a phone call. Ring somebody up and speak to them. No, don't email or text. Ring them up and speak to them. And actually have that, at least that voice contact.
I think.
And, maybe even share a drink over the video chat.
I think you made a very important point, and that is, you know, we are social animals, and it's good to stay connected at some level. And we are very fortunate to have all these technologies that can connect us, even if we can't be physically together. And so, yeah, make use of them. Do whatever you can to stay connected to other people, stay connected to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't be afraid to reach out. Think of somebody who is kind to you and just reach out to them and say hi. And, put the TV on. Probably the one time in the year that the TV is your friend.
There you go.
Watch another, yet another episode of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. It's my favorite Christmas movie this time of year.
I love it. That's a great.
Yeah. It is.
I like Groundhog's Day too. That's not a holiday show, but I love the idea that you have a chance to get it right. And for people that don't know that film, it's about this guy that keeps reliving the same day each year. He's a very ornery, unlikable sort of character, and by the end of the show he learns that the way out into a new day is to become a transformed person, and he becomes a very nice and likable guy. So I love that film.
Yeah, that is a good film.
Yeah.
Love Actually is a nice Christmas film as well. I don't mind that one too.
Oh, yeah.
My boys used to watch this little cartoon Christmas film called Christmas in Dusseldorf, and it was about two little church mice. And so I'm going to add that as one of my Christmas movies, just because it was one that my boys used to always love to watch.
Cool. Way cool.
Yeah.
Well, Kat, would you lead us out with a meditation?
Yes, let's do that. Okay, so get comfortable. Lay down or sit. Have a little wriggle. Get yourself all settled in. Feel the gentle, cradling feeling of gravity on your bottom and your back. Feels nice. Feels safe. Feels secure. Feels warm. Put your mind's eye into your heart. Visualize your heart. It's not just the muscle beating in your chest. It's that sacred space within you where all your love is. You picture a child. That child is you. And you've been given a gift. And it's exactly what you wanted. And the delight. And the gratitude. And the excitement. And the joy. Because you were thought of, and the gift is yours to keep. And picture yourself now as an adult, an age you like to think of yourself as. And as someone you love, and you're really thinking about them. And you've gone and you've thought carefully. And you bought the gift. And you've wrapped it. And you give the gift. And you see the same feeling. Delight. And joy. And excitement. And it sparks a memory within you. When you were a child, the same feeling. You know the gift is good, it's practical, it's timeless, it's useful, it's what they want and need. But you know they're going to have that feeling that you love to have too. That gratitude and joy. And that is the best. That is what's given back to you. That's what you receive when you give the gift. That's what you're hoping for. And so, when you think of the people that you have to give a gift to this year, think of how you can help them to have that feeling. What can you do to give it to them? What do they need and want? You don't have to spend a lot of money. You can make it yourself. What do
do they need and want that you know you can give them that feeling of delight when they open it? Come back into your heart and into that feeling. Somebody's given you a gift now as an adult. And when you see the gift, you realize they really thought of you. They really know you. And it's exactly what you want. And you're so grateful. And you can either ring them up or you turn to them and you wrap them in your arms and you say thank you. And your heart meets their heart. In that moment, there's a spark of life and light. That's Christmas spirit. No religion can capture it. No story of a Santa Claus. It's that feeling of life and light and delight and gratitude. That feeling of joy. And of knowing every time they look at whatever you've given them or every time you look at whatever they've given you, we'll think of each other with fondness and that energy of love will tie and knit between you and grow and bond deeper. And when you're ready, open your eyes and think about how you can bring all of that to the fore this year and every year to come.
Thank you, Kat. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful, Kat.
Thank you. And thank you so much for being a part of the show this year, Eleanor. Really love your contributions to our show, and I hope you can join us again next year.
Well, thank
we
you so much.
We are taking a hiatus, Eleanor, and to the other listeners. We are not going to be present for, is it 3 weeks or two, Kat?
I think it's 2 weeks. We'll be back around the 5th of January.
Yes, that's right. So please join us next year, early next year. And thank you so much for being with us tonight. And Eleanor, God bless. May you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And sorry, David, make sure that you press like on our Facebook page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And if you have any ideas for topics for future shows, please send them along. We want to hear from you.
Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth, Kat. All right. Well, Happy New Year to everybody, and happy holidays, whatever you celebrate. We'll look forward to being with you again next year.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
All right.